Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
You serious? You don't know. Everybody knows you never go full retard.
What do you mean?
Check it out. Dustin Hoffman, Rayman, look retarded, act retarded, not retarded. Count two picks, cheat cards, autistic, shut, not retarded. You got Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump. Slow, yes, retarded, maybe, braces on his legs, but he charmed the pants off next to him and won a ping pong competition. That ain't retarded. He was a goddamn war hero. Right. You know any retarded war heroes? You ain't full retard, man. Never go full retard.
Welcome back from your holiday, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you had a blast. I hope that every one of you had a blast, pun intended. My 4th of July was par at best. I couldn't even tell you if I saw a firework. I heard plenty. I live near a lot of, Latinos. I'm sure the Italians and the Greeks and the average white people were blasting off their fireworks as well, but there's something different about minorities when they do it. Latinos and African Americans in particular. African Americans like color. They like boombastic stuff. They like bottle rockets, Roman candles. You know, they like things that burst in the air, you know that. But for some odd reason, the Latinos like things that go boom. They like the sound of boom. You know, the large sound, the, you know, TNT, the M80s, whatever it is. They like that sound. I'm not exactly sure why, but they do. There are a few Negroes who like that boom sound, too. The younger kids like the boom. And I guess it's their explosive behavior. They like doing things, you know, over the top. I'll get into what it is that I did. Most of you who followed me on Reese on Radio on Twitter, you can see the picture that I tweeted and the comment that I made. Yes, it was real niggerific. It was. There's not much I can say about it because the guy whose home it was held at is a friend. I like the guy. Excuse me, but we showed up and it was rather lame, listening to the radio. Of course, they're playing a hip-hop and R&B station. So I got to listen to the rapper Drake for about 45, 55 minutes. Because apparently every song on the radio is his. Or Lil Weezy. Or Lil Wayne. So I had to deal with that. So I'll get into that. I promise that I will. I'll tell you what happened. It's not much of a story. But I'm going to wait until Mary gets here. Because Mary noticed some things that I didn't notice at first. Until she expressed them to me, and then I noticed, and Mary came along with me to my coworker's little shindig at his home. So it was interesting to say the least, but I will get into that. Now, I don't know about you guys. I don't really know what you guys would have done or what you could have done to celebrate the 4th of July. I'm sure that many of you did what any other person would have done on a day like this. It's a day off. You bring the family over. You enjoy them. You probably have a cookout. You probably, I don't know, what do you have? What do don't know. I haven't been to an event like this in a while. I try to avoid them. But the average person, they usually, you know, I think they have pretty good fun. They're, you know, with their family members, people they may have not seen all year. And they come out and they enjoy themselves. And that's all fun and good. I guess the general rule of thumb is, excuse me, during these events, you cook some hamburgers and you cook some hot dogs. That's always the general thing. Hamburgers and hot dogs. A lot of people do chicken. Chicken's a big thing now. A lot of people like the grilled chicken. Some kielbasa, maybe some links, big giant, some bratwurst. I'm a big fan. Love those. Love a big brat. A lot of like a brat cookout. Nothing is better than a brat on a cookout, 4th of July. To me, that's very American. Even though bratwurst is not an American. But you know what I mean. And then there's my favorite on the grill. I'll admit it. I love a good rib. Oh, man, do I love the ribs. Especially in a cookout. Swine on my mind, pork on my fork. I love the ribs. Oh, and I love to hear all of these, you know, barbecue aficionados. They've got the best ribs in the joint. Sadly, I had none on this holiday. I'd have loved some. But usually that's the American way. That's a good old-fashioned cookout. And it all goes best with some beer. Nice can of beer. Budweiser's always the safe bet to go when you're bringing friends in. Couple of people like some micro brews. I don't know who you are, weirdos. I can go for a Sam Adams, but it's got to be in a keg. But a lot of people don't do kegs anymore, except the kids. What else is there? Let me see. What's another guy? Maybe some Coors, Coors Light. That's a good old American beer. I can deal with that. That, for me, is Americana on a day like the 4th of July. Some women drinking some red wine. A lot of people don't drink red wine, so of course you got some ladies out there with some white wine. I love that. Guys out there being guys, probably talking about baseball, because it's deep in the baseball season. We're about to hit the Midsummer Classic. Women gossiping about their job. Ripping apart their bratty children. That's Americana. To me. And then as it gets dark, roughly about 9:30, we'll go out and maybe we'll see some local fireworks. Somebody in the town will be doing a big display. But oh, not this year. How many towns do we have this year cancel their fireworks specials? Because they couldn't afford it. How many towns? So it must have been a bust for them, because they had to leave, go to some other town, and finally get some fireworks. Hopefully, one of their really, really radical friends probably went to the next state, got some illegal fireworks, smuggled them into their state, and did a big blast off in their own neighborhood. And they got to see them. So everything is changing about this celebration, except for one thing, ladies and gentlemen, and it's my favorite part of the 4th of July. I can't even say the 4th of July. It's my favorite post-4th of July celebration. You may not know about it because I haven't told you about it, but I'm going to introduce it today. Every July 5th, we are going to have a new segment on Reese on the Radio, forever on July 5th. Set your damn calendars. Mark it off. We are going to have murder, death, kill.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
That's right. Murder, death, kill. That's all you're going to get on July 5th. It's a celebration of murder, death, kill. Because it happens every year.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
Murder, death, kill. I don't know what it is, but it happens every year. Somebody dies. And the stories are astonishing. Now, we're not laughing at the way that these people died. Sometimes it's a little bizarre. I mean, aren't these stories bizarre? The way that they die, and every year they're different. No one ever dies the same. One of my favorite websites back in the days, I haven't even seen this website in a long time. It's called the Darwin Awards. If you've never heard of it, look it up. It's a website dedicated to people who die in stupid ways. You know, by their own accord, you know, stupid things that they do that cause their own death. I think it's DarwinAwards.com. But check it out. It's a brilliant website. And the 5th of July, it's classic when you find out those horrible, horrible stories about how people have died, killed themselves.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
So let me mark off the first annual Reefs on the Radio Murder, Death, Kill Awards.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
This is a great story, folks. This story comes to us out of Safety Harbor, Florida. I told you, you can't make this stuff up. Safety Harbor, Florida. A man watching 4th of July fireworks was injured when he was struck by a falling bullet. Pinellas deputies say that Richard John Smaldo, was watching fireworks with his wife and friends near the shoreline at the Safety Harbor Marina when something struck him in the face. I want to say it's Smaldo, like Geraldo with SM. Smaldo at first thought he was struck by a rock until a friend found the bullet on the blanket next to her. Smaldo was taken to Meath Countryside Hospital and was released after receiving stitches. Investigators say the bullet apparently went through the bill of Smaraldo's cat into the bridge of his nose from there and went out of his right nostril through the upper portion of his bottom lip and exited through his lower chin. The bullet then struck a medallion that was worn on Smaraldo's neck, bounced off the back of his friend, and landed on the blanket. Deputies are investigating, but so far, no arrests have been made. The incident comes as the family of a child who was injured by a fallen bullet on New Year's created a nonprofit called Bullet Free Sky, discouraging people from using celebratory gunfire. Dude, that is an amazing story.
Wow. I got a question.
Go for it.
Who fired the bullet? Lee Harvey Oswald?
No. Yeah, it was fired from the grassy knoll. Safety Harbor.
That bullet has had more destinations and more twists and turns than Kennedy's bullet.
I'm trying to figure out how a falling bullet through the bill of his cap, through his nose, out his nostril, through his bottom lip, through his bottom lip, out his chin, onto the shield of his shirt, and then hits his friend in the back. I freaking love it.
What did they fire her from? His shape up?
No, I don't even know. Let me see if I can play the news report. Because it may have a commercial in the beginning. I have the video here. But come on, you can't tell me that's not an amazing murder, death, kill story? I mean, no one died, but come on. That's a great story. Oh, of course, they got a commercial playing first. So I'll wait till the commercial finishes playing, and we'll see if we can play the report immediately after. Everything is a damn ad before anything. Okay, here's the video.
Other breaking news story this afternoon. This one involving people shooting guns into the sky during 4th of July celebrations, and the bullets ending up injuring people who were just sitting outside. One of the incidents happened during the fireworks display near the Safety Harbor Spa and Marina. News reporter Preston Rudy is covering Pinellas County tonight. While officials have warned about the dangers of this kind of gunfire, Preston, it's unbelievable. It still keeps happening.
Yeah, it does, Heather. You know, 74-year-old Richard Smeraldo, he says he loves fireworks, so he came out here in Safety Harbor last night to enjoy the show with his wife. Instead, he ended up getting shot and wound up in the hospital.
This is not where Richard Smeraldo expected to spend his Independence Day, recovering in a hospital from a gunshot wound.
Yeah, that's a great for galling out.
But while watching a public fireworks display in Safety Harbor, he was struck by a falling bullet.
The bullet goes through the cap. There's a hole in the cap, the bill of the cap, down here, through my nose, out my nostril here, hit my lip right here, which is swollen, and then goes two holes in my chin here. It goes through here, and then it comes out the bottom of here, and they stitched both of those holes up.
The bullet then broke through his shirt. It bounced off a medallion Smeraldo was wearing around his neck. Smeraldo was then taken to the hospital and released after getting just 4 stitches.
In my case, if I had just maybe had my head this way, and rather than like that, it would have gone right through my skull. Different scenario.
Investigators admit it will be difficult to track down the person who fired the gun responsible for Smeraldo's injuries. The person could have been in the immediate area or blocks away. But authorities say shooting into the air, no matter where you are, is never a good idea.
No kidding, moron. Really, really smart reporting there. Okay. You want more? You think you want more? Of course there's more.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
Murder, death, kill. This is an incredible story, and I want to warn parents out there. You let your kids go out there and play with sparklers. I saw it yesterday. I saw little girls running around with sparklers in their hands. You know, that's very, very typical of young girls doing that, especially young boys. I know the boys want to play with the fireworks, but they're only allowed to play with sparklers. But girls, they have a great time with the sparklers. You know, that's very pretty. You know, girls feel like princesses with magic wands. Okay, I totally understand that. You know, watch a couple of Disney movies. Now they got a wand with a little sparkly thing on the end. But this happened in Buckner, Arkansas. Authorities in South Arkansas say one teenager is dead and another is recovering from injuries after they taped sparklers together and igniting them, causing an explosion. Lafayette County Chief of Police Deputy Pete Richardson says the 17-year-old boys bound the sparklers together while celebrating Independence Day. Richardson says the sparklers exploded prematurely as one of the teens put a 5-gallon bucket on top of the fireworks. Both teenagers were taken to the hospital, where Justin Smith of Buckner died. The second teenager remains hospitalized. Authorities did not identify the injured teenager, but said he is from Mount Holly. I don't know why that's relevant. Anyway, Lafayette County is under a burn ban, which means fireworks are illegal unless a resident receives written permission to ignite them. Richardson said he did not know if the teens had permission to have sparklers. So, I mean, have you ever heard of this before, JC? Somebody putting sparklers taping them together and under a bucket? Is that common somewhere?
No, I've never heard of that before. That's bananas, but
Well, what were they expecting?
I don't know.
Do they know? See, this would appear that the boys knew that if they put the sparklers underneath the bucket, that it would create this kind of explosion. You know what I mean? Like, they must have. Who would put the sparkler is supposed to be seen? Why take them together and put it underneath the bucket unless they knew that it was going to have an adverse effect?
You know what I'm going to do?
What, please.
I'm going to check YouTube. I'm sure there's something on YouTube like that.
Has to be. There has got to be. There's got to be some kids out there who know that this thing has an effect that's supposed to create some sort of explosion.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
By the way, you like that? You like that sound effect, by the way? You know what that's from, right? They see.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
what, yeah.
You know where that's from, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it today as I was reading these articles. I was going, this is all murder, death, kill. I love it. Okay. Next story. Now, this one is very strange to me. Because, you know, you have to be careful. Again, as I discussed, I know people love the local big fireworks display. Look, everybody lives for it. I've seen enough fireworks in my lifetime. I don't care. I know. They go up in the air. They go boom and sparklies come out. I'm over it. I know it's an event. I know it's something for people to do. I get it. Okay? But people have to be careful. And you can't always run out to these events. Stay far away. You don't really want to be a part of these, you know, these fireworks show. It only ends up one way.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
Yes, murder, death, kill. This is another story. I'm going to see whether or not this plays without an ad. I hate when the ads come up. But I'm going to try to, you know, play this. In its entirety.
Police say the 44-year-old Lansing resident was volunteering for last night's fireworks show, and it was after the show when the accident happened.
A volunteer that assists with the setup and disposal of our annual fireworks display last night was killed at Kenneth W. Bernard Community Park.
That park in Lansing remains closed today while police continue to investigate. Last night, 3,500 people attended the yearly fireworks show. Miller adds none of the guests were ever in danger because the accident happened well after the show was over and everyone had left the park.
Crews were disposing of fireworks that had not discharged yet, and one apparently exploded near the individual.
Miller says this is the first time anything like this has ever happened in Lansing, and it's too early to tell how this will affect next year's
murder,
show.
Death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
Show, we have not made any decisions at this time as to how it's going to impact future shows. Again, I mean, the folks that put on this fireworks show for us year in and year out are mainly volunteers. They're close-knit family, and this has got everybody grieving today deeply.
And at this point, Lansing police are saying this was an accident, but they will continue to investigate.
Absolutely strange, folks.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
That's all you can expect. Okay, one last story. One last story. My favorite story of all. On Murder, Death, Kill Day, July the 5th, 2012.
Why is July 5th Murder, Death, Kill Day?
Because it's the day when you find out all of the horrendous stuff that happened on the 4th of July. So what we do is we recap all of the horrible stories that happened on Murder, Death, Kill Day. But July 5th is officially Murder, Death, Kill. So when we talk about all the things that happened on the 4th of July where people lost their lives or got maimed.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
That's what we discuss. And it's going to be annual. No matter how horrendous the stories are, the greatest stories will be told. Now, this one doesn't involve anyone's death. But this one.
No. Let me stop you right there. Stop the music. I just sent you a link on Facebook.
You did.
What these kids are doing are taking three packs of sparklers and making what is called a sparkler bomb.
Oh.
This thing has a capacity, by watching it and the visual, as a damn hand grenade.
Really?
The link I just gave you, it blew the bucket to shreds.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Sparkler?
Okay, post it on Facebook.
Yes.
Post a video on the Recent Radio page so that people can look at it. I've got to see this on my own. So I guess transfer it from you can share a link on my page. Do that so everybody can see it. Just put up murder, death, kill. This is what we'll title it. Murder, death, kill, dash, kids, let me see, kids use sparklers to create bomb. That's what we'll call it. That's an amazing, are you serious? So the whole idea is, as I said, these kids know that these sparklers can do some real damage.
Yes.
Bottle rockets can too if you light them in your hand and don't let them go.
Well, yeah, I don't know why people do that.
My friend Daryl did it.
Oh, did he?
Me too.
First time spending 4th of July in New York. Smoking a little bit of the weedy weed. He put it in his hand, lit it, and next thing he was supposed to let it go. Next thing I know, kaboom!
Okay, Sparkler Bomb Done Right is the title of the YouTube video. And let's see if this will... Okay, so it's just some kids.
It's a short video, too.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it now.
But I can't see it.
Sorry.
You'll find out when you got a piece of shrap metal in your damn eye.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie, dude. That was amazing.
So, wow, that's incredible.
I bet you that was in Alabama, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know where the kid was who did it. Who got his, one kid died, and another kid is in the hospital from doing that.
From the sparkler thing?
Yeah, from the sparkler thing. But see, the report...
On that video we just watched?
No, not the video we watched, but no, that's, you know, we were trying to investigate. I was reading a story about how one kid is dead, another kid is injured over doing something like that, but the report says they only took two sparklers and taped them together. But as, of course, JC has just informed us, that's not the truth of the story. It's an entire pack of sparklers?
Yeah, three packs with six in it, 18 total.
Three packs with six in it, 18 total, and putting them together can turn it into a bomb.
Yep.
That is incredible. That, to me, I just watching that, the fact that that comes from a sparkler amazes me. That amazes the crap out of me. Okay, last story.
Murder, death, kill, murder, death, kill, murder, death, kill.
San Diego. A fireworks display. This is amazing. If you find the video, please look it up. Now, usually a fireworks display can go as long as 20 minutes, probably even a little longer. I'm almost certain that the one in New York City, the Macy's fireworks display, goes on for a half an hour. But this one was supposed to go on for 20 minutes. Well, somebody screwed up bad. And if you can see the video, trust me, it's everywhere. Apparently, some fuse went off, and the entire arsenal went off at the same time, and only lasted for 15 seconds. But the crowd, who are the most amazing of all of this, they are still oohing and eyeing at the video. They're loving every bit of it. Everybody's going, wow, yeah. Oh, it's just one big, giant, like, balloon blast that is going up in flames. Nothing is, bursting, you know, no, none of the, what do you call it? What do they call it? Like the daffodils or the explosions and stuff, the bottle rockets go boom. It's nothing of the sort. It's just one big boom. Hold on. Let me see if we can get... Hold on. Here it is.
Maybe not so if you're watching this. This entire 4th of July fireworks show, boom, exploding all at once. Check it out. The beginning, the middle, and the end. This was San Diego, the Big Bay Boom, and kind of went bust. Oh, here's the deal. All the fireworks, it was supposed to be, you know, this whole 17-minute show. Whoops. They all went off at the same time, 5 minutes before the show was supposed to start. Imagine sitting there with your kids, you're like, all of a sudden, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, it's over. 20 minutes later, thousands of people told, sorry, show's over. Get home. Event producers are investigating the glitch. Apparently, you know, so 17 minutes worth of fireworks, all going off under 60 seconds.
Holy cow. You
I think
what?
It's kind of cool.
Here's the great part.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt. Thank goodness.
But what a show.
Less than 60 seconds.
nothing like going out for a little finale.
Absolutely awful. So, that I thought was absolutely amazing. Four stories all together? Murder, death, kill. In and of itself. That's our murder, death, kill presentation. If you've got more murder, death, kill that happened on the 4th of July, please feel free to send it to me on Reese on the Radio at yahoo.com. That's Reese on the Radio at yahoo.com. You can also attach it to our Facebook page, which is Reese on the Radio. And you can tweet me at Reese on Radio with your pictures as soon as you get them. I want to see all of the stories of murder, death, kill.
Murder, death, kill.
And trust me, you can expect it every year, there's going to be another outlandish story about 4th of July fireworks. So expect that. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the Radio. I got to tell you about yesterday's cookout. We'll be back. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies. Policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions. not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I L-O-V-E.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. On the radio, 39 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is July the 5th, Murder, Death, Kill, 2012. Mike is sent me a Twitter message, but I don't remember what story it was. He said that the guy who got shot, that he looked like Quagmire. I hope he's talking about the guy who got the bullet that fell from the sky.
What bullet that fell from the sky?
Okay, I told this story earlier, and since you just walked in, I mean, I don't have a problem repeating it. Okay, so apparently a guy in Florida in a place called Safe Harbor or Safety Harbor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he's watching a local...
Safety Harbor.
Yeah, of all places. That's what I said. So he's there apparently watching a fireworks display, a local fireworks display. And as he's watching the display, a bullet goes through the brim of his cap, his baseball cap, goes into his nose, out his nostril, through his bottom lip, into his chin, out his chin, hits a metal necklace that he has, bounces off him, and then hits another guy in the back.
Shut up.
I'm dead serious.
That was like, what were we watching? What episode were we watching of Stewie when they got stuck in the bank?
Oh, yeah, the bullet.
And the bullet is going boom, 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 boom.
So, literally, yeah. So, but he lived. But the bullet went through his nostril. I mean, through the top of his nose, then through his nostril, through the bottom part of his lip, through his chin. Apparently, he's got a big enough chin that it went through the top part of his lip, out the top part of his lip.
So he's got a Jay Leno chin.
It goes twice out of his chin, one in and one out, and then bounces off of him, off of this metal plate that he has, and then hits another guy in the back, his friend in the back. He survived. He got 4 stitches in the whole
body. What about his friend?
His friend didn't get anything. He got 4 stitches.
I thought he got...
The bullet hit his friend in the back, but it just hit him and then fell onto the ground.
What do you mean it hit him and fell onto the ground?
Yeah, it hit his friend in the back after it bounced off his metal piece, hit his friend in the back, and then fell onto the blanket that they were sitting on.
Why didn't it penetrate his back?
I don't know. I don't know why. I guess it lost momentum. I'm sure it lost momentum.
Where did this bullet come from?
Apparently someone had fired it into the sky, and can't tell where it came from. Someone fired it into the sky and just came down and did all this damage. He said, thank God he wasn't looking up at the fireworks. He said it probably would have gone right through his skull. I mean, come on. Look how much it traveled.
But I can't believe that it traveled in such small, you know,
in these small areas. But yeah, it's a bullet. Yeah, sure. Yeah, but that's incredible.
That's a crazy bullet.
It is. It was an insane bullet. Okay, so let's talk about, speaking of 4th of July, let's talk about this outing yesterday.
What is there to talk about?
I knew Mary was going to say that. What is there to talk about? We weren't there 30 minutes, were we?
Maybe
45?
Maybe.
Okay, so a coworker invites me to his home for a barbecue on the 4th of July. Now, I didn't have anything to do, and I thought it would be a spectacle. I thought it was going to be a spectacle. It's going to be very Southern. You know, very Virginia-like. And it was, to a large degree. Now, let's start this off. I decided I was going to come by and bring a 12-pack of beer. I was going to get something as simple as natural beer. I think that's what it's called, natural. I think they have another brand called Natural Ice or all this other stuff. There's something called natural beer. I went to the store to go pick up a 12-pack. They didn't have any. Now, the other coworker who was with me.
Must be pretty popular.
Yeah, it must be. The other coworker who came with me, because we gave him a ride, says to me, and I quote, well, he likes Schlitz malt liquor. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. He did say that at work, that he was a fan of Schlitz malt liquor. So, yes, indeed, Reese on the radio grabbed a 12-pack.
A Blue Bull.
Of Blue Bull Schlitz malt liquor. And I carried it out of the store with pride. Okay. So, we get back in the car and we drive a short distance. Couldn't have been any more than maybe 5-7 minutes to the destination. We get there. We pull up. We find parking right across the street. Walk across. Mary's not incredibly nervous. She knows she's going to be the only...
I'm not nervous. I don't give a damn about being the only whitey.
I was just saying. Yeah, but aren't you nervous about meeting new people that you don't know?
No.
There's always that apprehension, isn't there?
Not really.
Okay, well, I guess Mary... I stand corrected.
I mean,
Mary was not nervous.
I guess there is a slight thing of apprehension, but... I mean, it had nothing to do with the fact... I mean, I was seriously the only crackle up in there.
She turned... Yeah, she was.
I was the only crackle. so I was definitely.
How many times did they call you Ma?
Never spoke. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Zero.
Very important.
Zero times.
Very important you bring that up, JC. So anyway, so we get in, me with my Slitz malt liquor in hand. Let me set it up. I am wearing a pink Tommy Hilfiger polo shirt, pair of white shorts, and my white soccer sneakers, shoes, my Pumas. I'm looking Carlton Banks out.
So what did you have on your head?
I had nothing on my head. I did not wear a cap. It was too hot for it.
Did you choke your sneakers?
Yes, I did. I choked them like hell.
Damn it.
I choked the laces out. And I walked in. Mary was wearing like a pink top, pair of dark slacks. She had her hair kind of up with sort of like a kind of explosion happening in the back. It's a cute look. It's a cute look. I like when she wears her hair like that. It's kind of like a part ponytail with the hair coming out of the back.
What?
I was talking about the way you wore your hair.
My hair was totally down yesterday.
Really? Oh, your sunglasses.
Like a,
that thing.
Yes.
All right, her sunglasses.
Like a bun with flare?
No. It was
out. My hair was totally down. It's out and curly, and I have my sunglasses up on top of my hair.
Right.
So it looked like I had little, like, pins on each side.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's a good look. She had the big, she had the big Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie sunglasses on. You know, so, all right, we get in there. First person I see is stumbling out the door is my coworker. And he's wearing a dirty T-shirt with the sleeves missing. And a pair of broke-down, beat-up shorts and some flip-flops. Looked like he was rustling through the mud. He looks like crap. He's sweating like a pig. He don't look right. Hey, what's up, Reese? How you doing, man? How you doing, man? Thank y'all for coming.
Don't forget about his mama.
Well, he ain't going to bring up his mama now.
Oh, come on.
I can't bring up his mama. That ain't right. I'll talk about what mama was doing. Leave it at that.
Can we talk about what mama was
wearing? Yes, of course. What mama was wearing?
Yeah.
No, we can't talk about
it. Come on now.
That ain't right.
It wasn't nothing but a small house dress.
Okay, she was wearing a small house dress. It looked dashiki-like. We just can't crap on mama. Anyway, let's just move on. So he looks like hell. He does. And he's got a little, you know how them southern boys look? And he's an older guy, so he's like 50 years old. You know, they always walk around with a Barry White washcloth in their hand, wiping away sweat, looking like he's sweating chicken grease. That's just me, okay?
Oh, they was definitely sweating chicken grease. These jokers was frying up catfish.
Yes, they were, damn it.
They was drinking juice jugs.
Yes.
Eating catfish.
Quarter waters to the rest of you. I'm telling you, my friend.
They was deep frying the catfish.
That's right, deep frying it outside.
They had a deep fryer outside, hooked up to a
extension cord,
to a propane tank.
Yes, and no. And we're not talking. Listen, the propane.
We're not
tank.
Talking about no fried daddy.
Yeah, the propane tank is sitting off to the left, but I'm telling you this. The deep fryer was on the ground. Like, it was on the ground. Stood up at about a foot and a half from the ground. And when she opened it, I see the little pot there, and I'm thinking, what are they cooking? And I walk past her, and Mama just opened up the thing, and I see a pig. I think, hey, you deep frying there. She's like, uh-huh. I didn't know that it was catfish until Mary told me that it was catfish because I don't know nothing about
it. You didn't know it was catfish until after we left.
Yeah, that was
Mary. That sounds like a turkey fryer that they've rigged up to do fish and chicken.
It might have been a turkey fryer.
Nah, it wasn't that deep, though. The fryer wasn't that deep. I mean, it looked like like those real thick frying pans? You know, like the ones that were kind of deep. You know, you couldn't fit
the cast iron, the black cast iron.
Yes. Yes. And they were deep frying that catfish. And they had some food on the grill. Now, every Negro in the place ate before we got there, apparently. because my other coworker tried to leave with a plate, but there wasn't nothing left. There was nothing left. So we're standing outside, and old sick boy is inside the place, doesn't come out. He's sitting in his air-conditioned home while we're outside literally melting.
Watching everybody get down, because everybody was getting down. Everybody was grubbing.
Yeah, they were grubbing.
This lady had a cute little dog with her. You know, we try to spark up a little conversation about the dog.
Anything.
She wasn't having it. She said what she had to say and went back to eating her damn chicken.
No one even bothered to introduce themselves to us.
And there was a lot of women there. They didn't even look. Women, they weren't even looking. I looked at them, trying to smile and stuff. And they wouldn't even look. They wouldn't even acknowledge that any of us were there. But I'm sure that once we turned our backs, they was, who that with that white girl? She come in here, she got two black dudes. Who that with that white girl? What's she doing over here?
Literally, after a while, I was just texting my coworker and just said, this is getting a little awkward.
No, and I was texting Reese, standing 5 feet away from me,
yeah,
talking about I'm ready to go.
We're texting each other feet from each other, telling each other, get the F up out of here. Just so we didn't have to even suggest it out loud. So now, here's the funny part. This is where, right now, I'm going to officially say, Mary, Mary, why you bugging is the getaway driver. Let me break it down to you. So I say to Mary, I think, Mary, I'm going to go inside and go talk to my coworker and let him know, listen, we're going to get out of here. We'll, you know, we'll just humbly just say, hey, thank you for inviting us. We brought you some beer. Have a great fourth. You don't look well. We're going to head on out. I go inside.
He leaves me in the backyard.
I leave Mary.
Now, by this time, about four more families, and I'm not talking about people.
Yeah,
four
more families.
Of a minimum three and more.
Right.
Come on in.
Yeah, it's now it's starting to pile up with people there. So now it's even worse because everybody knows each other and we're really odd people out. So I go inside to go talk to my coworker to let him know, hey, thanks for having us in the whole nine yards. Now, here's the funny part. Mary and I are only about, at this point, 7-8 feet away from each other. I'm inside, she's outside. So even though we're that close to each other, our texts are coming back 5, 6, 7, 8 minute delays, whatever it is. Let me just put it to you this way. By the time I finished talking to my coworker, the text went something like this.
Oh, I'll read them to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. All right. You got them? Okay. These are great texts because you got to read exactly the chronology is even better. Go ahead. This is brilliant.
So at 7:15 p.m., I text Reese and say, I'm ready to go home. At 7:21, I text him and I say, meet you in the car. At 7:21, and a few seconds right after my text of meet you in the car, Reese texts me back and says, we are out of here. Start the car. By this time, I'm already in the vehicle. I have taken the vehicle out of this parking spot. By the time Reese comes out the house, I'm sitting in front of the car with the AC on.
Blazing.
Waiting in front of the house, double park, hazards on. Like, let's get in the car. Let's just, you know, let's roll.
We bounced like a rubber ball. We were done at this place, JC. Done.
I mean, it was a nice gesture. Don't get me wrong. If any of your coworkers and whatnot is listening,
I don't care.
It was a nice gesture. First of all, it was way too damn hot. It was. I couldn't.
Yeah.
Even if people would have been talking to me, I wouldn't have cared. Because I'd have frankly been like, you know what? I ain't trying to talk to you unless you got some damn AC in your pocket.
Right. Go ahead, JC.
And Mary.
What?
Did you feel like you were on a set of Roots?
No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. But you know what? It was like, you know what it was really like? Okay, I want you to get, okay.
I'm going to say something. I said this to Reese when he got in the car.
Mm.
I said, now I've been to many, many, and I probably shouldn't even have said that because it didn't make, I've been to many, 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 way more parties or cookouts or gatherings with black people than I have ever been with white people. Basically, if I'm not going somewhere with my family, I ain't with no white people. So, I've been to a lot of places, schmoozed with a lot of different people. I mean, these jokers ain't even speak, and I'm just like, they didn't even want to look at you, and I just didn't understand. I did not understand. And I said to Reese, I was like, is this how black folks act out? I'm like, is this how it is out here?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I found even odd, is that here, everybody else you know, you've seen them probably hundreds of times. Here are new people into your home, around your family, and you don't even bother to engage them. But here's why I knew it was going to be typical. Because everyone that I was seeing there had that typical look. You know, there was a Trina, and you know who Trina is. I'll give you a perfect example.
Trina was right next to me.
Oh, you saw Trina?
Oh, yeah, I saw her.
Okay, so you got a Trina there?
She was the thinner one out of the rest of the biggies.
Right, exactly. Trina always the thinner one out of it. Exactly. Okay? Then you got another one. I don't know if her name is Rita.
Or Shaquita.
But whatever her problem is, she's got a drink in her hand, and she slouches in the lawn chair. And she's the one who's looking around, conveying, like, you know, looking around the people and saying, you know, that bitch got seven kids, ain't got no daddy. That's that woman. They were there. And then to top it off, there was an uncle in an electronic wheelchair. I swear to God. Eating ribs. Talking about basketball.
Knowing damn well he didn't need to be eating no more ribs because we couldn't even find his ribs.
He was big as a house.
He ain't seen his ribs or felt his ribs in 25
years. Exactly. Couldn't be no more than 45 years old. But he was just sitting there, and he had the loudest voice out of anyone. And I will say this. He was the only one that engaged us in conversation because Kenny said something to me about a basketball player, Ray Allen, and then, you know, wheelchair bound, then joined the conversation only to suggest that he knew something about it. But that was the last he spoke and kept it moving. So it was a complete joke, the entire thing. 45 minutes in all. We got there, what, 6:30? And we were out by 7:21?
Something like that.
And it was a complete bust. But that was our... That was pretty much our entire day, our 4th
of
July.
So what we ended up doing was coming back.
Yep.
Chilling in the yard over here.
Yep.
Having some drinks. Reese's co-worker sat out with us. We chilled outside till probably about 10
o'clock.
Took Reese's co-worker home and took it in.
That's it. End of our day. JC, I'll ask you about yours when we get back. Stick around, all right? It's Reese on the radio.
We live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Back on the air, top of the hour, right here on Risa on the Radio. It is July the 5th, 2012, Murder, Death, Kill Day.
9 o'clock on the dot.
That's right. Every year, Murder, Death, Kill, July 5th. It's going to be the post-4th of July holiday. Murder, Death, Kill Day. And the rest of you, I'm sure you'll understand. I'm sure you'll understand where we're coming from there. So, and don't forget, if you've got a Murder, Death, Kill story for the 4th of July, please send them to me at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. You can also send them to our Facebook page, Reese on the Radio, or Twitter, Reese on Radio. And we expect to hear from every one of your stories. So when you're listening to this show, because I know a lot of you, can you believe the people who were listening to the show last week? Oh, I have to show you those. Thank you, everybody, who's been checking out Reese on the Radio in the way that you have. I know you can't listen live. Some of you listen live. I really appreciate that. But you guys who have been going back to listen to the show the day after when you can, it lets me know, it warms my heart to let me know that we are appointment radio for you. It means the world to me.
That we are the world to all of us.
Yeah, to each and every one of us. Mary's going to take a phone call.
Hello?
Oh, don't do it here. I got in the middle of a story I want to tell.
How can I help you?
Are you serious? Are you really going to do that here? I have a story I need to tell. Okay. Now, as many people know here on Reese on the Radio, it is always racism on the radio, on Reese on the Radio.
I told him I was picking him up.
It is always racism on the radio,
all right, I'll call you
on Reese on the Radio.
All right, bye.
Is it, pardon me, I don't want to sound rude here.
Yeah.
Do they not know that at 8 o'clock we're doing a show?
Okay, so everybody knows. This is the situation. Family, I love you. Moms, big ups, you know, love you to death. But Monday through Friday, from 8 to 10, we do a radio show.
Why do they not care?
I know you don't know that because you don't ever bother to listen. But that's okay. I comprehend. But if you wouldn't mind remembering that Monday through Friday, 8 to 10, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio, we are doing a radio show. So, if it's not an emergency, can you wait till 10 o'clock or call me before 8? That would be great.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's all I'm asking.
I'm on power and didn't even know it.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. Goodness gracious. Okay, now I can get back to my point. Racism all the time on Reese on the Radio. It's racism on the radio right here on Reese on the Radio. And I have got a great racism story.
I love
for
it.
You.
Come with it.
I know you
I
do,
Mary.
See, you are one of the few people who are part of this show who loves the racism as much as I do. You really, really love the racism.
That's because everything about me goes against the grain.
Yeah, well, yeah, I happen to agree. Okay, so listen to this story.
Oh, shoot.
Listen to this story, and I want you to tell me what is causing this to happen and why it's getting news today.
A controversial pastor's conference for white Christians only is underway in Lamar County. The group says critics just need to allow them to exercise their religious freedom. WAFF 48's Jack Madison went there to ask if their views match up with the Bible.
The mayor orders our flyers to be taken down. Now, when did they start religious censorship?
Among the Ku Klux Klan flags, white supremacy slogan. Small group of so-called white Christians contend they have been treated unfairly. They have the right, like any other American, to worship how they wish.
We're not breaking any laws. We're not violating any ordinances. We're bringing the word of God to people who want it, obviously, or they wouldn't be here.
Who are white?
Well, they're part of the chosen race.
Reverend Mel Lewis is the founder of Christian Identity Ministries. We wanted to know if he thought Bible verses that communicate equality contradict an exclusive ideal shared here, that the white race comprises God's chosen ones.
Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? That seems to be including everyone.
Well, you've picked out some wonderful verses to individually pick on out of context. Let's look at the entire book. Do you have any notes on that?
Well, I mean, if it says it's Galatians.
No. That's one verse.
He's not a Christian.
That's
right?
One verse out of a book. All you're doing is make a mockery of God's word. You're absolutely abusing the scriptures.
For the very last event of this conference on Friday, the people here will set a cross on fire. They say it's not a cross burning. It is instead a sacred Christian cross lighting, which is, like everything else during this conference, open to all white Christians. Reporting in Lamar County, Jack Madison, WAFF 48 News.
Now, there are several reasons why I like this story. One is that this pastor rips the journalist, who is a failure at best. He grabbed one verse from the Bible that suggested his idea, that we're all the same. And then when he was challenged, the guy's a minister, stupid. You want to walk in there, you want to challenge his beliefs, you go in there with the full info, the whole Bible. You don't go out there and you find one verse and you say, oh, doesn't that mean everybody? No, stupid, it doesn't work that way. Now, I'm not defending the Ku Klux Klan, but when I see stupidity, I point it out. So I'm going to ask a question. Why do you think that the Klan is getting attention for having an all-white Christian event? Why is the news giving it attention? It's not like it happens. It doesn't happen all the time. We know it happens all the time. But the mayor is now attacking this particular group. But why is it getting attention? Anybody care to guess? Take a wild one.
Was it a presidential election?
Okay, you're almost there. You're scratching the surface. JC, can I
ask you a quick question?
Go for it.
Can Barack Obama go? Since he's white?
No, because he's part black and it has to be all white Christians.
Oh, you have to be a purebred.
Purebred, yes.
Of the chosen.
Chosen people, chosen whites.
The chosen people to do what?
Well, they're just there to talk about
to
their
act
Christianity.
A damn fool.
What they do is their business. I think what they do is their business. What they believe is their business. I'm going to throw something out there, but I'm going to wait until later. JC, go ahead. What do you think?
When did this happen?
In Georgia, right?
Yeah, in Georgia.
Wow.
Same place where they're teaching kids third graders how to do math or how many beatings Frederick Douglass got.
Got that right. Okay, but go ahead.
Yes, why is it news?
Why is it news? Tell me why you think this is news.
Because it's racist.
No. Well, yeah, because it's racist news, one.
Okay.
Racism in the news, it sells. And right now, Trayvon's really not a hot issue,
right?
Other than George Zimmerman bail was set at $1 million.
That's right.
But we're happy about that. But during all the racism in the news, and it sells, and it's all about the it's all about that marketing dollar.
Is it about the adopt a highway issue?
No, nope. I don't believe that. I'm actually going to bring Mike in from Florida. Let's see if he can venture a guess.
Our fellow friendly whitey from Florida.
Our friendly neighborhood white man, Mike in Florida. Mike, what do you think? What do you think is causing this attention from this group?
Oh, well, I think JC's on the right track that, racism sells. but it also, I think, is to, I don't know, scare black people. Look at the Klan back in effect and all that stuff, which is bogus. Cause, you know, I've said it before, there is no Klan. Whatever Klan there is like 85% FBI informant.
But pretty much.
So it's kind of a joke.
Oh, so
I don't know. I mean,
the media is doing it to rile up the black folks.
Sure, because, you know, if the media cared about racism and if racism was looked at equally, don't you think they would publicize the stuff the new Black Panther Party put on their Twitter recently?
That's right.
What did they put
They're
on their Twitter?
They're talking about, let's kill the crackers and cracker go kill yourself and all this good stuff.
We ain't killing ourselves, new Black Panther Party. If
Mike,
you want it, you better come and get it.
Mike, you are right on point. The idea is to this. It's to justify the media's now sworn duty to pump this narrative about, you see, this is why we have to get equality for Mexicans. This is why we have to get equality for blacks. This is why we have to get equality for gays. Is because these groups exist. And when we put the spotlight on these groups, it justifies the liberal narrative. It justifies it. It says,
but
see?
I think I like to call them the dinosaur media, you know, the establishment media.
Right.
What they haven't seemed to realize yet is that news travels so quickly nowadays that people know when the media chooses not to cover certain crimes due to their agenda.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, are you familiar with a case that happened in Knoxville, Tennessee, a couple of years ago?
Please do tell.
There was a young couple, a young white couple named Shannon Christian and her boyfriend, Chris Newsom. Shannon went to University of Tennessee. Chris was a hard-working construction worker guy. These two people were out on a date and ended up getting carjacked by a group of, I don't know, ex-convict, crackhead-looking, really disreputable black guys. Right?
Okay.
Over the course of a day and a half, see, they took them out to a railroad track where the five guys all raped the man and shot him and set him on fire on the railroad track. Then took the girl back to a house, gang raped her, and for what, a day? Poured bleach in her mouth and on her genitals, supposedly mutilated her, then stuffed her in a trash can to die. And did you hear about that on mainstream news?
No, I did not, and that is heinous.
But you heard about James Byrd getting dragged behind a truck, right?
You sure enough did.
But
and
you know
heard
what?
About Trayvon. You heard about Trayvon Martin getting shot, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But you
did
know.
Did you hear about the? Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
Mike. But in Knoxville, Tennessee. I mean, Knoxville. I've been there. And I mean, that's no place for black people to start acting stupid against white people.
Well, they did.
Them country-ass rednecks will take you out.
Apparently they didn't, and I'm kind of ashamed that things have come to
but
that.
But racism still exists there, and
yeah,
it exists heavily.
But you know that according to the media, not according to the law, but according to the media, they have this view of African Americans that pretty much, I mean, it's so racist, but their attitude is, you know, come on, they're black. They don't know any better. They
yeah,
are
I think it's,
not
a,
as,
it's a what do you expect kind of attitude.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't even see it.
Of course they did that. They're black.
Yeah, it's like they're black. They don't know any better. They're not mainstream. They're not like regular people. This is
the kind
of crime that you have to expect from them because they're not a part of mainstream America and they've been oppressed for so long. You can't expect them.
I sent you a tweet. I sent you a tweet when we talked about gay people.
Mm-hmm.
There was a case, you Google the name Jesse Dirkhising.
Mm-hmm.
The last name was Dirkhising. Jesse Dirkhising was, I think he was a 13-year-old boy who was befriended by a friend of a family who was a gay hairdresser.
Okay.
The gay hairdresser and his boyfriend drugged this kid and raped and sodomized him for a day or something until the kid suffocated, and it didn't make the news. But we all heard about Matthew Shepard.
Well, sure enough did.
And the thing about Matthew Shepard, man, is I've been to Laramie, Wyoming. That is not the place to try to pick up cowboy construction worker meth heads if you're a gay man.
Right.
Which, by all accounts, is what happened to him.
You know
the media painted it like he was this innocent guy who hitched a ride or something and got taken out and beaten. No, he was cruising for dudes in a rough bar in Laramie, Wyoming.
Right.
I mean, if you want to say the what do you expect card, what do you expect is going to happen? But he was made a martyr, but poor Jesse Dierksen, nobody heard about him. And it begs the question, you know, why does the media cover certain stories?
But you know what? Here's an interesting part, because, you know, most African-Americans will argue that stories that make the media about African-Americans, it's always about drugs, and it's always about, like, a random shooting, like a drive-by, if you will. You know, like, those stories get covered. If a black guy murders somebody, that gets covered.
Yeah, but I don't think that's true at all. You know,
really?
I've had interactions with reporters when, you know, if you want to play a fun game here, every time there's a news story about a shooting or a carjacking, watch how they label the description of the perpetrator or the suspect. I've actually seen them say the suspect is described as 5'10", wearing baggy jeans and a hoodie with black dreadlocks and brown eyes.
Okay. Like, so you're saying they never describe. You're saying they never describe his race.
Right, they don't. And I've interacted with reporters on that, and I've actually seen reports where they say that, well, that's inflammatory behavior. We can't do that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So
in reality,
an era of political correctness, if you will,
yeah.
They're avoiding describing the race of that individual.
Right. I mean, and if I'm going to be honest, if the media focused attention on all the crime that was committed by black people, that would be all the news was full of.
Hmm.
You know, if the media gave black-on-white crime the same level of hysterical coverage that you get white-on-black crime, it would be nothing but black-on-white crime, which is, you know, far more common than the opposite.
It's very true. You know, that's the part that I find astonishing, is that
more prominent than anything is black on black crime. But
if you want to be black on white
and white on black only, and take those two and compare, then yes, that's true. There is more black on white.
Yeah, I happen to agree.
Whether it's a racist issue or not, that is true.
I think the media is perpetrating a fraud. And JC, I'll let you respond to that, but I think the media is perpetrating a fraud by broadcasting more white-on-black crime to promote a narrative that racism still exists, but always putting the black person as a victim to promote that narrative, where, in fact, if the numbers suggest that there is more black-on-white crime, they won't promote it because if they do, it's considered politically incorrect. Now, JC, are you going to tell me that you don't agree with that?
No. Hell no.
What?
No.
You don't agree with that, JC?
JC, you
think there's more
crime, blacks versus white, than whites on blacks. You don't believe that?
No.
JC, come on. You think there's white guys that are actively mugging black dudes?
Yeah, there's my point. Thank you. Great question. JC, do you believe that?
No, but that is what we're used to, because that's what we're used to hearing.
I mean, do you think there's lots of white guys that are black women?
Hold on, one at a time, guys. JC, what was your point?
What about the white on black crimes that the white on black crimes that get swept under the rug as if they didn't exist?
Where?
Because it doesn't exist.
Wait. What do you mean, JC? Anytime a white person commits a crime against an African American, it is promoted through the media, racism at its worst.
At its best.
You know, but yeah, we call it at its best. But when you hear that there's black crime being committed against whites, look at that story that happened
in Norfolk.
In Norfolk, Virginia. 30 black people attacking two whites, a guy and his girlfriend. They didn't even want to print it in the local newspaper the two reporters worked for.
Well, hey, Google the term Wichita Massacre. That was another one. It happened in Wichita, Kansas. These two career criminal African-American actual brothers broke into this house that like four or five people shared. They ended up shooting all five of them, one of whom survived. And they raped the two women, did all kinds of vile crap, and it didn't make the news. Didn't make the national news at all. Why?
Because it was in Wichita.
But you know what? Hold on, JC. And what the case is had it been two white guys who raped a black family, do you know what they would have hearkened that back to? They would have hearkened it back to white slave owners who raped black women.
Even if it had been two white guys that did that to a bunch of white people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it would have made
absolutely.
The news.
Absolutely.
It would have been like in cold blood.
You could
you
take
know?
The Connecticut case. You could take
yeah,
the
exactly.
Connecticut case where the two white guys raped. What, one of the girls was as young as what, 14? Probably younger?
I think so, yeah. And they
she was 13 years old.
Or whatever.
Yeah, she
yeah.
was 13. That yeah, what they raped. The little girl, her older sister, the mother, beat the crap out of the father and then set the house on fire.
Yeah, and that
yeah,
was,
I know
that
you're
was a
about.
Story on national news.
Yeah, that
the Pettit
exactly.
case.
What
but,
was it?
But
the Richard Pettit case.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the two that I mentioned, which were equally as shocking, if not worse, those don't make national news at all.
No. I don't know. I think you guys misunderstood. I don't think that that so much that they don't report as far as reporting of the cases in terms of crime. My thing is that you don't hear too much of violent white on white crimes either. You don't hear that unless it's really, really, really something heinous.
Well, no, and you're right about that, JC. I won't dispute that.
You don't hear about those at all. And I think
no,
that's
you do.
Done,
no, no, no.
That's
hold
done,
on, JC. The reason why those stories don't get reported when it's white on white crimes, what the news media says, what they want to talk about when it's white on white crime, what they like about those crimes when they report them is the sensationalism of that crime. They love it when it's like a love triangle. That's enough. That's a great angle on a story for the news media. They love that.
Or a serial killer, or a
right
spree
serial
killer.
Right, he's only killing 19 to 24 year old blondes. They love that story. You know, what was the guy who was in Long Island? Who was
Berkowitz?
Not Berkowitz. No. I would know.
Joel Rifkin.
Joel Rifkin. I'm almost certain that's his name. But
yeah, it was a Seinfeld episode about it.
That's right. My ex-wife was enamored with that story because he was picking up prostitutes, you know, and that the psyche of the white man who's a serial killer is a big idea. And you talk to black people today, they'll tell you, you notice, you know, they never ever find no black serial killers because the media loves a white serial killer. Because always wants to delve into the psyche of the white man. Now, again, not defending people who do heinous crimes,
well,
but I don't like that. I don't like
well,
that
the,
dialogue.
The reason that, you know, shooting spree people like spree shooters and serial killers tend to be white or Asian is because that takes some preparation and planning.
Hey, I'll give you another one. I'll give you another one, JC. And you.
No. I don't think it's so much that. I think it's more so that it's to hide the dirty deeds of whites or to keep the narrative out there that whites don't commit as many crimes. Period.
No, you're hiding the dirty deeds of blacks because everyone is worried about being called or cast as being racist for bringing them up.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they're avoiding it.
I mean, you hear more about
in Chicago this weekend.
Yeah.
No,
and,
but you hear more about white on white crime only on the ID Discovery Channel.
Okay,
I mean, you don't see no blacks on there.
Listen, we all know that society has primed or, you know, has primed black people into being able to say the media, everybody is
right.
at fault for it, have primed black people to have a mindset of anytime, any place, anywhere, anybody, I'm black, you say something wrong to
right.
me,
you're racist.
Then I'm holding the race card because I ain't got nothing else, but I got that, and I will have that forever. That's how the white man will continue to pay for the crimes that were done to my family members, right? That's what it is. So the race card was given to black people by the media, which is mostly run by white people. So it's like the white man just, you know, cut his nose off to spite his damn face.
Right, I agree with you.
But I think what most people need to recognize here is that you can't consider yourself a fair and balanced, and I'm not using this as a Fox reference, but you can't consider yourself a fair and balanced media if indeed you do not report the news based on its sensationalism, right? If you believe a story is sensational, cover it. And whoever disagrees or doesn't like the fact that you brought it up, be damned. So what? You're reporting the news. If they suggest you're being racist for bringing that to the forefront, oh, you're going to scare whitey against us. Then you have to say, listen, this is what we do. If a story happens, if this person committed that crime, no matter the color, no matter the religion, no matter where they're from, we're going to report it because it's news. But parsing or stopping yourself from reporting that story because you're worried about the backlash you're going to get is cowardice. At best, it's cowardice.
I mean, you know there were 19 people shot last night in Chicago? 19
Again.
People were shot on the 4th of July. And the national media won't cover it. And I think it's because they don't want to, I don't know, they don't want to scare white people about black people or something. Who knows?
Well, they don't want to scare people about, but they don't want to scare people about Chicago either, Mike.
But
that's another.
I guarantee you, if that happened in a small town in Texas, you know, or if a trailer park in West Virginia was having 15 people shot every weekend, I think you'd hear about it if it was white people dying.
Yes.
And they'd say, look at those crazy-ass rednecks.
Right, because it's a safe story. Because a white person is not going to scream racism. He can't. Oh, you're the dominant race in this country. You can't scream racism. excuse me. I can talk about everything you do every day. But I can't talk
yet,
about the rest of these people.
And yet the editorial on the Chicago Tribune after all this was, Chicago has a gun problem.
Right.
And Chicago doesn't have a gun problem. It has an unruly young black and Hispanic man problem. Because Cheyenne, Wyoming is full of guns, and they don't have shootings.
Exactly. Let's let Edward in Connecticut get in there on this. Edward, what's up with you?
Hey, I kind of lost connection, but the JC says he doesn't believe that black or white crime is more prevalent than the reverse. Or did I miss something?
JC, you want to respond to that?
No, I didn't hear what he said.
He wanted to know whether or not you believe that there's... But Edward, repeat it again so he can hear it.
Yeah, I thought you said you believe that black on white crime is not more prevalent than white on black crime. Or did I miss something? I may have misunderstood.
No, I think you misunderstood that. I think I got it in reverse.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, Reese each actually covered that subject like a few weeks ago with a Larry Elder article. You know, they talked to victims of crime and, you know, black victims of crime. And most of the time they described their victims, or rather their perpetrators, as black.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
A lot
the five lies, the five
yeah.
black lies.
So unless a lot of black victims are lying, you know.
Well, no, no, then they must be asking victims within the inner city.
Well, dude, come on, you don't really.
What about the black family that moves up to the burbs, or moves into a predominantly white neighborhood? How they may not get major crime done to them, but how they're treated.
So that's not a crime.
No, how you treated is not a crime. It's not like getting raped.
Well, what about those that do end up getting shot, killed, mugged, and raped? And to say that it doesn't happen is bananas.
Do you believe?
Because it does happen. You just don't hear about it.
Yeah, I got to stop you there. Are you telling me that every black person whom I know?
No, I did not say that. I didn't say every. I'm not saying every at all.
Fine. Let's just talk about what we consider as the American dream. The American dream for any person, no matter who it is that you are or where it is that you're from, is to get sort of that big house with a picket fence, so to speak, and move to the suburbs. That desire has never waned in my lifetime, that people do not want to move out of their dilapidated communities and move to those suburbs. And if there was this phenomenon, if you will, of minorities moving into these communities where they ended up being raped, shot, or killed, I mean, it would destroy that housing market more than you know. There would not be more minorities joining those ranks at all because of this. We've never heard of a phenomenon of these people moving into those neighborhoods where they have been subjected to these types of crimes. Yes, maybe the neighbors don't want to talk to them or tell their kids, don't play with the don't play with the Williams kids.
We don't want you talking to them.
Yeah, so what? But they're definitely not being subjected to the crimes that a white person would be subjected to if they moved into the projects. Isn't that a fair argument? Go ahead.
No, I'm here. I'm just looking up some statistics. I'll get right back to you before we get off to you.
Are you going to look at some stats?
I got to back up what I believe.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to let you look at some stats. I'll give you a little bit of time to look up some stats. We'll take a break. All right, when we come back, we'll address that because I got another story that I have to get into. We'll look at some I'll let you look at some stats, and we'll come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they like what they have. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want precedent? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up and spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue.
I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
President Obama promised us his health care law.
It is absolutely not a tax increase.
Now we know that's not true. Obama's health care law is actually one of the largest tax increases in history. Shouldn't Obama's priorities have been creating jobs and ending reckless spending? Instead, he focused on a $2 trillion health care takeover that we have to pay for. How can we afford this tax? We're already struggling. Tell Obama, repeal the health care law and pass patient-centered reform.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else, as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Yo, man. Never liked grits, only egg McMuffins. But now I'm eating chitlins with some cornbread stuffing. Cause I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. Used to ride a scooter, now I drive a big caddy. Girl, I am not your husband, I'm your baby daddy. Cause I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. Used to play Go Fish, used to play Uno. Used to play some other games that probably you don't know. Bring them golf clubs to me, think that golf course open. Might play a couple rounds if that golf course open. I be Tiger stroking, I'm a Gino joking. Since I started hanging with blacks, I be Newport smoking. Plus I shoot them cracks, that's how I relax. So if you wanna find me, I'll be with them blacks. Only wore corduroys my parents used to get me. But now I'm sagging skinny jeans that really don't fit me. Cause I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. Used to call you pretty when I saw you all the time. But you're no longer pretty, you're a motherfucking dime. Cause I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. Come on now, pick me, pick me, pick me. Put me on your team, please. Got some Jordans that don't fit me, but my dribbles are so tricky. If I ain't D-ing, I'll be 3-ing. If I ain't 3-ing, I'll be T-ing. When I say T-ing, I mean taking it to the hole. Voted for McCain, but now I might just vote Obama. Used to have a wife, but now she just my baby mama. No, I'm not black, but I still love that Bravo drama. Atlanta housewife, no longer watching Futurama. Funny. Howdy. Got me sagging trousers. But I'm still afraid to walk in front of public housing.
Oh, no.
NASDAQ killer. I do it from my browser. Dow Jones up, I just made 100,000. Yeah. Never liked grits, only egg McMuffins. But now I'm eating chitlins with some cornbread stuffing. Cause I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. I bees with the blacks, beat bees with the blacks. Used to ride a scooter, now I drive a big caddy. Girl, I am not your husband, I'm your baby daddy. Cause I bees with the blacks, beep bees with the blacks.
Okay.
I bees with the blacks, beep bees with the blacks. Yeah.
Damn, man, what you do to your knee?
I don't know, man, I think it's my meniscus.
How you twist it?
Trying to guard that black kid. I'm going home, man, I think I need some more ice.
Damn, man, what you do to your knee?
I don't know, man, I think it's my meniscus.
How you twist it?
Trying to guard that black kid. I'm going home, man, I think I need some more ice.
Reese on the Radio, we're back 40 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is July the 5th, 2012, one day, that's right, one day after the 4th of July, which we are officially calling one thing, if you haven't heard, you should know by now. It is Murder, Death, Kill Day.
Murder, Death, Kill. Murder, Death, Kill. Murder, Death, Kill.
That's right, where every year on July the 5th, 2012 and 2013 and 2014, every year on July the 5th, we will be chronicling the murder, death, and or kill of someone who died on the 4th of July due to fireworks. It's all got to be fireworks related. And that's why we're calling July 5th, from now on, every year, murder, death, kill.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
That's right. So, just to let you know. Okay, so we were having a discussion about the reporting of major crimes committed in the United States, be it black versus white, white versus black, and what gets reported more and why. Mike makes a very, very valid point, as does Edward in Connecticut. They all are in agreement with me that the media has a bias when it comes to those reports because it is important to promote this whole narrative. This was all based upon this white Christian service that they're going to have in Georgia where the KKK is only inviting white Christians. And I was asking the question of why this story was being promoted, and it's because the media needs to promote this narrative. Look, look, there's white racists. There's white racism. There's white racism. Racism against blacks, racism against Latinos. They love promoting that, especially now, of course, with the first black president, and they need to promote that. JC is arguing that, so he went to go look up the stats. I'm hoping, because I gave him enough time, that he has enough stats to back this up. So what do you have, JC, if you found any?
I don't exactly have the stat that I'm looking for, but I will say
okay,
this.
Tell me what you do have.
I tell you what, and it kind of really, to me, better drives home the point that I'm trying to make here with regards to the media and its narratives, with regards
okay.
to blacks being savages and that blacks kill more whites than whites kill blacks or whatever. And when I said that a lot of the white media crime doesn't get committed, not so much that it doesn't get committed, but it doesn't get reported. I found on the Department of Justice website, I got a PDF file that shows that 84% of white people killed in this country are killed by other whites. But you don't hear about that.
We're not disputing that, JC, but hold on. We're not disputing that.
We're talking about what's being reported.
No, no.
But
we're talking.
Can I make a point real quick? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Exactly what you just said. If there's that high a percent of white on white crime or white on white killings, whatever, that is still a small percentage in comparison to the population gap between whites and blacks. It also says the same thing for blacks. You don't hear about all this black on black crime. You really don't hear about all of the black on black crime. You hear about big stories, something that these people
but my point is that's
problem.
All you're hearing is
so,
black on black crime.
Well, no, I agree with your point, JC, but what I'm asking is, and I'm certain there's a stat out there, if you were to look this up, and I'm going to give you some time to look at it, look up crime against races versus other races. I don't know how you'd exactly phrase it on Google, but if you look it up, if you were to do a search that would say, what's
crime
the number, right,
based
crime
on
statistics
race.
Based on race, blacks versus whites versus blacks, I'm sure you're going to find a very definitive number that shows
you know
that more blacks commit crimes against whites.
You want to hear something funny?
Go for it.
I did a search for white on black crime,
right,
and couldn't find any statistics.
Pardon?
And it just kept going to black on black crime.
It kept going to black on black crime.
Which bolsters my point. White on white crime is not being reported,
yeah.
And by it not being reported, it's unfair that it's not being reported because it makes blacks look like total savages.
Well, why would the media? Okay, first of all, the media always makes blacks look like savages. In order to bolster that ideal that blacks don't know better. That's the whole thing. I mean, I think a lot of people miss that point. Look at these black people and the conditions that they live in. They don't know better. So they never.
And then if you look at the statistics, Reese, I mean, there's only 38 million blacks against 200 million whites. You mean to tell me that we kill more of them than they kill of us? Statistically, it's impossible.
No. I didn't suggest that, JC. I'm not suggesting that. This is what I'm talking about. This is about a racial disparity. What I'm asking is this question. If you were to break down how many crimes white people commit against blacks on any level, be it robbery, rape, murder, assault, versus that of blacks against whites. Do you believe that that number, that whites would be higher against blacks than the other way around? I'm going to go with no.
Statistically, it has to be.
Well, no. You're saying that there's more whites in the country.
And you don't hear about it.
Hold on. You're saying that there's more whites in the country to commit crimes on blacks. I get you. If you were to say...
Has not been reported.
Hold on. But if you were to say, hey, could white people theoretically commit more crimes against blacks than blacks against whites based on the census, based upon who lives here? You're absolutely right. Yes, whites would have a clear advantage in that area. But the question is, is it true that whites commit more crimes against blacks than blacks do against whites? And that answer is no. It's a definitive no. You're not going to find that.
I don't believe that.
All right. Well, someone who has been gone for a while, I don't know whether or not he, you know, just left the show and doesn't want to be a part of it anymore, but we dragged him.
Oh, yeah.
Too late, man. James Montgomery is back. James, you've heard our argument. Do you agree with JC or do you agree with me? And I have a strange feeling it's going to be JC.
You know, this is why I don't call a show, because you're an idiot. I just want to understand. I don't understand what the point is trying to be made here. All right. The fact of the matter is whether it's black on white or white on black, whatever, crime is crime, and. To even suggest that black people are more prone to crime is what
well, no,
you
no,
know.
No. Okay, if you missed the premise, I'll break it down for you. The premise was that the news media rarely reports when African American men commit crimes against whites than they do about whites committing crimes against blacks. And we threw out a couple examples. I'll bring Mike in Florida in to make that point. Is what I'm saying is that the news media is unfairly reporting these crimes as if to suggest or bolster that white people commit more crimes against blacks when, in truth, it is more blacks committing crimes against whites. And when they're really heinous,
in truth,
they complete,
well,
hold on,
where are you getting
hold on,
this truth from?
Hold on. And when it's extremely heinous, like if a white person had done something where, let's say this, if a white person broke into a home of a black family and had raped the wife and daughter and set the husband on fire or set the family on fire, that they would promote that faster than they would when a black man does that against a white family, because they would be deemed as racist for even bringing it up as a news story by race baiters like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, just to name a few. That's my point. So do you agree with that, or do you disagree?
No, I disagree with that totally.
Okay, so name the case in point where black...
Well, you name the case in point where it's actually happened the other way around, because all I'm hearing is you throwing out these theories, but I haven't heard not one shred of empirical evidence. None.
Hold on. I'll let Mike in Florida do that for you. Mike, again, bring up the stories that you brought up before in the last...
Okay, now, if you guys will Google the term race war of black against white, you will bring up a news article from the Sydney Morning Herald dated May 20th, 1995. The reporter named Paul Sheehan had access to the most recent at the time FBI crime stats, and it breaks it down that interracial crime, black on white, is not just more prevalent, it is staggeringly so. But we'll address that in a minute. If you want to hear the specific cases I mentioned, James, there are two. There was a case in Knoxville, Tennessee, a couple of years ago, where a nice white couple, well, two that I can name off the top of my head, man, I'm not the FBI, okay? But Shannon Christian and her boyfriend were kidnapped, raped, and murdered in a torturous, evil fashion over a day and a half by five black guys. It didn't make the national news.
Now, hold on. Mike, before you continue. Now, James, if there are five black guys who raped the guy and the girl, wouldn't that be a sensational story that the news media should report? Yes or no?
Well, yeah, but again, you can't tell.
Why
didn't they report it?
All right, again, there's no way you can tell that, all right? There's no way you can tell which story they're going to run or what.
Okay, then why did they run James Byrd getting dragged behind a truck?
But yeah, right.
Excuse me?
They ran the James Byrd story when he was dragged behind a truck by two white men.
I have no idea what the criteria is or what story gets run or what story doesn't. But for you to say that simply because it's black against whites, that it's either hushed up or just a fact.
How can it not be? What's a more exciting story if you're going to, you know, the news media says if it bleeds, it leads, right?
Right.
What is more exciting than five convicts raping and murdering a beautiful young couple? Why? What's more sexy or exciting than that? Not to say sexy, but you know, what's more newsworthy than that?
Having this argument, you know, the fact of the matter is, again, it was horrific, and if it should have been reported, then it should have been reported.
But
you still have no evidence on the fact. It still says nothing to the fact or why it
wouldn't,
the fact that the only reason it wasn't reported was because it was five.
Guys, hold on. Let me ask this question. James,
yes.
Name the last story that you can remember that made national news where a black man, a group of black men killed, raped, or assaulted a white couple.
A white couple?
Yes.
Genesis.
Name a notorious name in the black community.
The Genesis?
Genesis. They hung a rope from a tree, and then a bunch of black dudes beat the shit out of some white kids. What are you talking about?
And hold on.
It got reported, right?
But wait.
Black kids beating up a white dude, right?
Yeah, but that's not what the story was about. The story was about white guys hanging a noose in a tree.
Yeah, the story was about white guys. Exactly. What took over the narrative was that a white kid hung a noose on a tree, and the news reporters covered the black civil rights activist who tried to get the Genesis out of jail.
Yeah.
Not that they committed a crime. Not that
they
admitted anything.
They didn't
heinous.
Put the poor kid who got his
No. No one said that. All right, this is another thing. All right, that got blown out of proportion. portion in the first place. No one was saying that they needed to be out of jail. What they were saying was, let the punishment fit the crime. This man, these kids were charged with murder for an assault.
They weren't charged with murder.
They were charged with assault.
They were trying to charge these kids with murder, period.
Attempted
murder.
Nobody
died.
They tried to charge him with attempted murder, but the bottom line is, what
okay,
was the narrative?
For an assault.
But wait.
All right.
Why
and again,
assault?
Again.
I want to make one point. Why did the black kids get the moniker, the Genesis?
Because it was five black kids, it was a gang. It was gang related, and then it was also touted to be a hate crime.
But James,
because it was five
James,
black kids
called,
against one white dude.
James, they were called the Genesis. They were called the Genesis as if to promote that these six men in some way were wrongly treated by the prosecution. And people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson went down and tried to get these boys out of jail because they thought they were unfairly prosecuted.
Yeah. Never mind that they six of them acted like punk bitches and ganged up on a skinny white kid and dumped him into unconsciousness.
All right. No. Now, again, no one ever said that these kids weren't in the wrong. No one ever said that.
James,
what we were saying is that
you're bringing up let the punishment fit the crime. What about that does not fit that crime?
What about it? The fact that your victim got up after a couple of hours and walked to go get a ring.
He was beaten into unconsciousness and stayed at the ER. The only reason he went to get his ring ceremony is because he said, quote, I waited 11 years to go get it. I wasn't going to let this stand in my way. Then he left early. He lost
again,
one of his eyes for 3 weeks.
So again, he was...
That's like it's not a big deal.
He was...
But, you know,
he was
enough,
you know, then it's an assault, not attempted murder.
But James,
well, how do you
six
know?
Six on one?
Attempted murder, man.
James, six on one, they martyred those six black kids and gave them the moniker the Jenna Six.
And they let him go to the BET Awards.
What's that?
They were at the BET Awards, and Cat Williams was wearing a friggin' noose around his neck, remember?
All right, James.
Okay. All right, okay. Once again, they put a noose on a tree. It's
Did he deserve to be beaten because he... James, all I'm asking you is...
Yeah, and he has nothing to do with it in the first place.
Yeah, did he deserve to be beaten for a noose on the tree?
I do believe that they overreacted. I don't think it should have went down like that. It made the situation worse than if you just would have said, look, you know, there's the tree, you know, there's a noose on the tree. It was a knee-jerk reaction, and it went horribly wrong. Right?
But they were rewarded for it, James.
It shouldn't have happened, but I don't,
but they
I don't
were
think
rewarded
they
for it, James. They were rewarded.
They weren't rewarded for that.
What do you call tickets to the BET Awards?
Yeah, exactly. What do you call tickets to the BET Awards? That was the black community saying, yeah, you should have beat his ass for hanging a noose on a tree.
Yeah, good job beating the white kid. And not even
exactly.
Fighting like a man, fighting like a punk. Six on one. Oh, tough guy.
Come on, James.
What?
You brought up the Jenna Six. I let you dig your own hole here. You brought up the Jenna Six.
I'm not digging a hole. You asked me if there was anything that was reported. If it was black or white, if it was reported. That was the criteria. It fits the criteria, does it not?
Yeah, but the angle of the story was, look at these poor black kids getting run over by the dirty rednecks again. It wasn't, look at these savages who beat this kid into an ER visit and almost blinded him.
And again, I ask you, give me the name of the most notorious criminal who was black, who committed a crime against whites. Name them. You can name hundreds of white people who have been notorious for committing crimes against blacks. Name one notorious.
I can barely name any other criteria either. I don't follow the news that much.
Oh, I can name one. I can name two.
Oh, I'm sure you can. I mean,
I can name black criminals who made the news for killing white people. I can tell you who they are. It's a short list. It's John Allen Muhammad and what's his name? Eric Malvo, the DC sniper.
Oh, the
only reason that one made it is because the media started publicizing that story when they thought the shooters were going to be white people.
That's right, and they couldn't avoid it when they found out the two black people were responsible.
Because
there's
sniper,
also...
sniper crime has white guy written all over it. You know
exactly.
That much.
Go ahead, Edward, go ahead.
Yeah, there was a few years ago a guy on the, I think it was the Long Island Railroad, who specifically targeted white people.
Colin Ferguson.
Colin Ferguson.
Colin Ferguson. And that was 20 years apart, Dave. 20 years apart. No, okay.
And he's not as famous as Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold.
Colin Ferguson happened in the 90s, and Malvo and what's the name happened in 2002, 2003. Mm-hmm. So they were about 10 years apart. So you don't hear it if you know that two notorious black criminals are in the news 10 years apart. But yet you can name guys like you can know names like David Koresh.
How long ago was that? And David Koresh wasn't just about black people, wasn't he a cult leader?
Yeah, he was a cult leader. But the bottom line is
that's apples and oranges.
It
had nothing to do with just black people.
James, you know about Rodney King, don't you?
Rodney King? Yeah, well, who doesn't know about Rodney King? Okay. Now, that's one. Name another.
What, another white-on-black crime?
Come on, you said you had a bunch of them.
Black crime.
You said you could name them. Name them.
I think I just did, James.
You named one.
They're clearly more famous. First of all, are you going to sit up here and tell me that white criminals against black people aren't more famous than black criminals against whites?
No, I'm not.
The newspapers have a term. They say that dog bites man is not a story, but man bites dog is a headline story.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
The reason that black-on-white crime does not get publicized is because it happens at a far greater rate.
Okay. All right.
And when a white guy commits a violent crime against black people, that's due.
It's amazing, James. I really can't believe that you're not seeing this. I'd like to thank everybody.
I think it's impossible myself.
What's that?
I think it's impossible right in front of me.
We're going to get the stats. We'll do a show tomorrow. We'll get the breakdown. We're going to search anywhere and everywhere that we can. And we're going to get the breakdown.
I tweeted it to you, Reese.
Yeah, we went too long. We'll have the stats. We'll break them down.
I sent you the tweet, buddy.
Thank you, boss man. All right, guys.
All right.
We will do this again tomorrow. I promise you we will, because I want to break this down. Hey, did you call it tomorrow?
Calling tomorrow. Definitely calling tomorrow.
All right, good enough.
Okay,
all right, Three Sons Radio, we're back. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jamie. Kool-Aid Man. And
oh, yeah.
Oh.